Hello, everyone. It's 4:31 p.m. Eastern Time on the 20th of July, 2020. I am your host, Mark Snyder. And it's been a wild and crazy ride lately, hasn't it? Have you been watching the news and the destruction? What is it, in Portland and Seattle and the chaos and all of us thought that Billy was probably going to be a little off about the Civil War thing. That'll never happen, right? At least we thought. And now we stand on the precipice of war with the communist Chinese, war against the globalists, war amongst ourselves. How did things ever get this way? Well, perhaps it means that our thoughts, emotions, and feelings are not what they should be. They're not neutral positive, to say the least. Now, there's this interesting book called Macht der Gedanken by this very interesting guy named Edward Albert Meyer. And the book is about trying to understand your own thoughts and your own feelings. It's about trying to monitor those thoughts and feelings and emotions so that we can make decisions to remove certain thoughts or to bring in, to nurture, to encourage other thoughts. So the negative thoughts we kind of want to boot out. And the positive thinking we want to nurture and strengthen, but we don't want to completely eliminate all negative thinking because there are negative inclusions that bring about a balance in the psyche. Because you can become unbalanced just from having way too many positive thoughts. And there was a couple positive thinkers that we were learning about the other day that actually committed suicide. Because they got a little on the out of balance side on the positive. I think of maybe Norman Vincent Peale, Dale Carnegie. I don't know that Dale Carnegie killed himself. He might have. Edward Erhard F. Freytag. Ah, it was Joseph Murphy, the guy that killed himself. So this is deadly serious stuff that we're talking about. And we want to definitely pay attention to these kinds of circumstances so we don't end up like these fellows. I just had an error message pop up on my computer if I seemed a little distracted. Now I'm... Now I'm having anxiety. is this being recorded? Hopefully it is. But anyway, let's read just a little bit from the Might of Thoughts. And this is on page 82. Talks a little bit about hallucinations. And then when people, they get themselves in a bad state, and their thinking has gone completely out of kilter. They have a psychical disorder, and then they start seeing things that aren't there. But a fundamental distinction must be made between emotions and feelings. Because in complete contrast to the philosophical and psychiatric and psychological schools of thought, they represent two completely unlike factors, which in their form have nothing in common with each other. Feelings, namely, are created as a result of particular lines of thoughts, while emotions are reactions. You ever notice that? When you react, you're angry, you're fearful. Emotions are reactions which are called forth by particular situations and states and in forms which are specific to the individual. So we all have different kinds of reactions, different kinds of emotions. Yours may be anger. Yours may be fear. Yours may be just lack of confidence in yourself. And emotions are reactions which are called forth by particular situations and states, and in forms which are specific to the individual, like I was saying, as well as specific to the circumstances, which are, as well as forms which are external and environmentally conditioned. So emotions are therefore able to create thoughts through which particular feelings are created, which then formatively influence the psyche and in turn the thoughts. So, generally speaking, from what I've gathered here, going over and over and over this book many, many times, is that the feelings grow out of the thoughts. And we're at a point here on the earth where we can't really, our feelings are not as developed as they will be in higher levels of evolution. But our feelings generally grow out of the thoughts, which is a good thing. I think you can control your thoughts, then you can control your feelings. A lot of times I perceive my negative feelings before I really realize I just had a negative thought. It's kind of a strange circumstance, but it's if you sense the negative feeling, then stop for a minute and say, oh, wait a minute, there's probably a negative thought associated with that. So let me think about what I've been thinking. What am I thinking? What am I thinking that's causing these negative thoughts? And maybe I shouldn't be thinking negative thoughts. Because generally we want to be confident. I'm confident. I'm optimistic. I'm relaxed. I'm cheerful. I'm enthusiastic. I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. So monitor those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions. A cycle thereby comes about, through which the emotions can also be influenced and formed via the thoughts. Now, I think this is maybe a good thing, by means of the feelings. However, so that emotions are created and can manifest, a process of perception is required, from which arises a particular interpretation of a psychical state of excitation. The state of excitation can exhibit many kinds of forms and can arise from feelings, observations, and experiences, as well as external circumstances, events, situations, and so forth. Joy, laughter, sorrow, and crying are human states of excitement which are subject to the brain's interpretation. That's interesting. You may be crying because something is wonderful and you're just absolutely overwhelmed with it. Some people cry when they're really, really happy. Most people cry when they're sad. It's all up to your brain's interpretation, right? If therefore processes the information and stimuli and determines to what extent and in which form the bodily states must be interpreted and expressed. So, for example, as joy or ill humor, as sorrow or gladness, as euphoria, as love or hate, and so forth. And all these states of excitation of the body and of the consciousness are fundamentally based on the thoughts through which the corresponding feelings are created, which must simply be defined as states of excitation, among other things. Thus, it also follows again from this that fundamentally and exclusively the thoughts and their might are again responsible for the fact that feelings, and with that the resulting states of excitation, can come about at all in the human being. So the thought brings the feeling, but an emotion can influence and create thoughts as well. The facts of the matter are thus unambiguously clear. The might of the thoughts is decisive in the forming of the feelings. And with that, these corresponding states of excitation of the body, the consciousness, and the psyche. So, a lot of times, at least in my case, I sense the feeling, and I have to trace back to find the thought. Thus, the thoughts in no wise play a subordinate role. Rather, quite the contrary, they play an absolutely dominant role in the entire process of the forming of the consciousness and the psyche, just as they do with the creation of the feelings, by means of which the psyche is indeed formed, as are certain emotions. Remember, there's a difference between emotions and feelings. Feelings are basically rooted in the thoughts. The emotions, a lot of times, are reactions. As explained, emotions are not to be equated with feelings because a great difference exists between the two. Emotions arise completely spontaneously. Now remember the passage that says, when tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another, which creates a misdirection of the thoughts, which triggers emotions that can lead to murder and manslaughter. So these emotions, too, the emotions arise completely spontaneously from some sort of internal or external situation. That's because they arise so spontaneously, people sometimes give in to the emotions of the moment, and they can do something horrific that can create a disaster, like a person being murdered or hurt or something of that effect. Emotions arise completely spontaneously from some sort of internal or external situation and are hard to bring under control by means of the thoughts. So if you're caught in the vicious cycle of negative thoughts causing more negative thoughts, and you can't stop thinking about this whole negative situation, it's hard for the thoughts to bring those emotions and feelings under control. So a lot of times what we learn is the wish dream, or we put our mind on something completely different. You know, something like mundane, neutral, completely neutral. You're feeding your cats, you're raking leaves in the yard, you're squirting out your garage, you're watering the plants, and get your mind off of that negative thought that's repeating. You know, thoughts are like seeds and they go out everywhere, and then you got a bunch of horrible negative thoughts flying around which create more negative thoughts. The thoughts actually multiply, which is of course very bad if your thoughts are negative. And we're in a very difficult situation because We have things attacking our physical body, like the pandemic. We also have 5G and other things which are putting a lot of pressure on our bodies. Maybe I'll hopefully maybe play a clip or two about some of the stuff that's going on today with the whole political situation. So in any way, it's always a good thing to take the time to analyze and look at these thoughts and emotions. So the emotions arise completely spontaneously from some sort of internal or external situation. And remember, your spiritual consciousness will send impulses to your material consciousness. So if you can quiet yourself down long enough, you can get some of these direction-determining impulses from the very core of your person, your innermost spiritual nature, your spiritual consciousness. It has millions of years of experience to fall back on. And it will send you these direction-determining impulses. What did Sanyasi say? She said, every human has a spirit that never sleeps and never dies. It records everything that you do, all of your impulsations, and will let you know if your thinking is right or wrong, if you've learned to pay attention to it. So learn to pay attention to that spirit, because it will evaluate the feeling that results from the wrong thinking. And it's real obvious usually, because the negative thought goes so quick, it gets past you. But the negative feeling then grows out of a thought. And you'll be sitting there wondering, why do I have this bad feeling? What was I thinking about? And then you go back and you say, oh, yeah, maybe I need to look at that a little more neutrally. Because the goal here is that we want to be neutral. So emotions arise completely spontaneously from some sort of internal or external situation and are hard to bring under control by means of the thoughts. They are in no kind and wise based upon feelings, rather solely on internal or environmentally conditioned external perceptions of situations, events, experiences, and impressions pertaining to the body or the consciousness. Emotions thereby arise completely spontaneously, so quickly, and before you know it, you're just raging. And they practically cannot be recognized before they become noticeable, so stopping them is very difficult. Additionally, with the occurrence of emotions, a strong state of excitation arises. That's another thing to think of. So, are you having an emotion or are you having a feeling? If there's a strong state of excitation, then that's probably an emotion. Emotions thereby arise completely spontaneously and so quickly that they practically cannot be recognized before they become noticeable. Additionally, with the occurrence of emotions, a strong state of excitation arises, from which also a state of warmth often or mostly comes about, which primarily manifests in the head. However, which can also spread to the entire body. I'll have to check for that next time I blow my stack. Did I get hot? Am I sweating? I would say that's very possible. It's funny too, the things that will trigger you. What would trigger me would never trigger you, and vice versa. It's so strange. All of this is in contrast to feelings, which as a rule are built up consciously, in certain cases also unconsciously, by means of lines of thought. Consequently, the emergence can be recognized. Yeah, you know, that's true. Like I said, with like the negative feeling, boy, you can get a positive feeling. And you go, oh, that felt good. And then you think, well, what came before that? Well, I was feeling confident about this situation, or I was feeling confident about this loved one, or I was feeling I was making progress in this area in my life. So I had this thought of I don't know what you would call it, a thought of being successful in one way or another, whether it was you were thinking about the success of a loved one, a pet, something that brought about a good feeling. Okay. All of this is in contrast to the feelings, which as a rule are built up consciously. In certain cases, also unconsciously. By means of lines of thought, remember trains of thought, sequences of thought. Consequently, their emergence can be recognized and perceived and observed as well as controlled. So, and that's one of the good things about repeating to yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune. What I might fully think manifests for me. Therefore, in every regard, the human must trust himself and in his or her power and might. The negative and the positive are two forces that belong together and should never be separated. So these are thoughts, you know, thoughts which came from Billy's head and which were put in his book, and then I can share those thoughts by repeating them. And then I reap the benefits of those healthy, neutral, positive thoughts. Okay. Naturally, states of excitation can also arise as a result of the feelings. However, they are not associated with a state of warmth, as in the case of with emotions. So maybe the bodily temperature change is something we could kind of look for, because of the state of excitation associated with emotions. In contrast to emotions which cannot be steered, that's the other thing that's kind of scary. You just have to stop that emotion. You can't steer it. If you let it go, it's just going to go crazy, right? Feelings can be very well guided and led in particular directions simply through the kinds of thoughts and their might. As already explained, not only a conscious, rather also unconscious thinking occurs, whereby exactly the latter can be specifically dangerous for the psyche. Okay, let's think about that. So, unconscious thinking can be dangerous for the psyche. This seems very important, because it simply cannot be consciously perceived, and for that reason cannot be controlled. Thus, the human being's cognitive process, that is to say, the processing of information, entails much more complexity than is involved in purely conscious thinking. The processing of information carries in it not only multi-layered, reflexive processes of the nervous system, rather simply also unconscious, automatic thoughts, which, just as the word indicates, are not consciously perceived. Wow, that would explain a few things to me that I don't really want to go into right now. But if we have these unconscious thoughts, that would explain why sometimes our behavior is like, wow, where did that come from? You ever think that? And you're like, wow, I can't believe I even did that. Why did I do that? The concept of information processing must be extraordinarily broadly defined so that the operating psychical and neurological mechanisms of the processing can be described or outlined. Besides, it is already almost impossible to make such a sharp distinction between emotional processes and those pertaining to feelings and cognitions, so that everything can be precisely differentiated. Both the cognitive factors as well as the factors pertaining to emotions and feelings are stimulus processing mechanisms of the human body, which is enlivened by spiritual power. Now that's a, I feel like I should be paying attention to that. Both the cognitive factors as well as the factors pertaining to emotions and feelings are stimulus processing mechanisms of the human body, which is enlivened by spiritual power. And all of these factors have a common and quite extensive cleavage plane, whatever that is, which makes it very difficult for the uninitiated, for unknowing ones, the layperson, and the misinformed philosopher, psychiatrist, psychologist, and the like, to see and to acknowledge volitional thinking and its might as the potency from which the state of the psyche is actually formed, or with which a disturbed and sick psyche is healed again. Wow, there's so much in that. That's page 86 of The Might of Thoughts. Mach der Gedanken. I really recommend you get this book. It's second edition, 2014. I cannot tell you how much information is in this book. I cannot even describe it. And I've read it at least a dozen times. And every time I go through it, I know that I'm only getting a small percentage of what's there. Let me just read one little section over again. Bear with me. Rather, also, an unconscious thinking occurs, whereby exactly the latter can be especially dangerous for the psyche, because it simply cannot be consciously perceived. And for that reason, cannot be controlled. We're talking about unconscious thoughts. Thus, the human being's cognitive process, that is to say, the processing of information. So, this is more than just the thoughts here. We're talking about the whole processing of information entails much more complexity than is involved in purely conscious thinking. So there's more going on in the processing of information than just conscious thinking. There's unconscious thoughts. There's feelings that are growing out of the thoughts. There could be some emotions which rise up spontaneously. So anyway, wow. What a book. What an amazing, amazing book. If you've had any luck reading this book, let us know. I think it's phenomenal. It's just amazing. It's probably something you could study for the rest of your life, but that's what I'm thinking. Anyway, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder.